I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. Other Desert Cities is a play by John Robin Bates, a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize for Drama in 2012, though its comedic aspects are also central. It explores the personal and political tensions in a family when one of its members publishes a memoir exposing painful family history. Other Desert Cities will be produced locally at the Very Little Theater in Eugene, directed by Claude Offenbacher. It opens on Friday, January 16th and runs through January 31st. Joining me in the KLCC studios are Associate Director Suzanne Shapiro and Central Cast Member Tracy Eileen Miller. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much, Eric. It's great to be here.
Well, briefly set the scene for us, Suzanne, in terms of the family dynamics that are central here.
The parents, Polly and Lyman Wyeth, have worked in Hollywood. Polly as a writer for some movies, co-wrote with her sister, and Lyman as an actor, and they have become part of the old guard Republicans, having been friends with the Reagans and with the Bush seniors, and they are very staunch Republicans. However, their children, grown children, Paul, Brooke and Tripp, are liberal. And Tripp works in Hollywood producing a television program. And Brooke is writing and lives on Long Island. And they are home for Christmas. And this is 2004. And they have just arrived home the night before. And the play opens. And they are have just come in from playing a tennis game.
And Tracy, you are the central character of Brooke Wyeth, who is publishing this memoir that threatens to tear apart this family. What is it that motivates Brooke to make this family's private tragedy public?
Well, another character who never comes on is their older brother, Henry. And for Brooke, who Henry was her best friend, and Henry committed suicide, and it's affected her entire life. During the play, she's in her 30s, and it's been half her life that she's been dealing with the suicide of her best friend and her older brother. And the memoir is her way of trying to, after, and it's said up front that she was in a hospital for a year recently, and her parents came back to take care of her. But this memoir was her way of really trying to come to some kind of understanding about what happened with her brother and the fact that he never said goodbye to her and he never left a note for her. And she's trying to make sense of all of this. And she spent, like I said, the second half of her life dealing with this.
I would imagine that a person in that sort of a situation would have a very difficult time telling the truth in a certain way, because it's difficult to know what the truth might have been. There must be a lot of different family perspectives on this. Is that true?
Well, in this case, she relied on her Aunt Silda to feed her what she didn't know. So they've been working together on this, and that obviously has some bearing on the tension between the family, that Silda has been working on this, and Silda is Polly's sister. And so that creates part of the family tension in terms of sides that are created and who has a pulse on what's true and what's not true, exactly.
And Suzanne, what about the family dynamics are you trying to bring out as one of the directors, and how do you go about bringing those dynamics forward?
Oh. The dynamics include a lot of comedy, actually, which we are still pursuing as the characters come together in the first scene. There are so many comedic touches, but there is an underlying mystery which comes out at the very end of the play that I think is very, very interesting. The resolution of clashes within the family.
So the interesting thing about reading this play as a writer and as a playwright is that he creates this incredible swell that most playwrights want to do, but it's so effective in terms of what pops at the end of this play. And everything builds to this one point to understand what really happened in that time where Henry committed suicide. And that's what the whole play is based on. And it just goes through the entire energy until you get to this climax that just pops, and you understand everything that came before.
What aspects of the political dynamics of the time are relevant to our current time?
We are still involved in fighting in the Middle East, which really started with George W. Bush after the Twin Towers were demolished by airplanes in 2001. This play takes place in 2004, and there's a lot of clash about the fighting that's going on in Iraq, about the search for weapons of mass destruction. And this is part of what Henry, the older son, was really rebelling against, and the big fight in the family. He had a huge clash with his father before he committed suicide.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is that the play sets up something that I'm not necessarily sure exists in culture, but possibly does, which is this idea of this older generation and this younger generation, and how they're clashing over their perspective of how people should be treated in the world. And that, you know, that harkens a lot to the 60s. And mm-hmm. So it's the same kind of, it's like the second wave of younger generation against older generation, older Republicans who are definitely for the war and are definitely committed to the ideals of, you know, Ronnie Reagan. And this younger generation, which is more liberal and has a different ethic and feeling in terms of how we should all exist in the world.
Sometimes in family dynamics and in stories such as this one, what's uniquely personal to one family is actually the most universal in a certain sense. When it gets right down to it, we all have lots of common issues that seem disparate on the surface but aren't really so disparate. How does that apply in this particular play? What family dynamic is there that the rest of us can take back into our families and learn from?
There is the dynamic between parent and child, which is always relevant, that the younger generation does not see things the way their parents do. There is that clash and that trying to understand each other. In this case, it carries over into politics, but that is a universal. I saw it in my own youth with my parents and the clashes we had.
Yeah, I think that's a good question, Eric, because what comes out for me as being Brooke is that it brings out, and now that I am also a mother, this idea that you don't really understand your parents and what they've done until you are older and you become an adult yourself. It's at that point, and that this play really pinpoints this, is that you really understand what it's like to be an adult and to make decisions, and you understand what your parents were going through in a way that you just can't when you're a child. And they have to make the decisions, and you can't understand everything that has gone on. And it provides a space for you to forgive once you truly become an adult and understand your parents in that adult way that you couldn't as a child.
And in this play, Brooke begins to stand a lot more on her own feet after having had her breakdown, and takes her own position in spite of her mother's objections and her father's, in a laid-back way, but her mother mostly.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing, is that you take liberties in making decisions about what you should be able to do as a child. And that's brought up pretty severely to Brooke in terms of the choices that she has made and is making in terms of the people in her life that she supposedly loves, her family. And she does love them. But I mean, the choices that she's making and how she will impact them. And sometimes it's only really big events, as we all know, in families, that bring out that aspect of you have something that you need to own and understand, and it's time to grow up. And I think that's what this play is about for Brooke, is this growing up.
These are all very intense issues. Where is the comedy within all of this? What's so funny about this?
There is comedy in how family members tease each other. They even tease each other about their political views, in each other's political views. Brooke will tease her parents about looking for those weapons of mass destruction in the desert in Iraq. She teases her brother. She and her brother have a fantastic, her younger brother, have a fantastic relationship. They are fairly close, considering their ages are not that close. But she was the older sister for him. And in spite of the fact that they live on opposite coasts, they're still their relationship is very, very good. And they tease each other, and that's fun to watch.
I think it comes back to that no matter what, your family knows you more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. They just do. And because of it, that means there is the most comedy. They know how to push each other's buttons. They know how to make each other laugh. They know more than anyone else in the world, outside of perhaps the people you grew up in elementary school, which always seems to be the case. They know you better than anyone. And so through that connection is where you get your best comedy. Because everybody knows how to goad and push and and also, you know, really make you laugh. I think a lot of times is in families, they're the people, because you've grown up with them forever, that know how to make you laugh the most, more than anybody else, and make you return to who you are at your core more than anybody else out there in the world.
And this is a talent that John Robin Bates has in writing his play, this particular play, in inserting the comedy and the warmth in spite of the building family dynamic towards the crisis at the end of the play.
And the title of the play, Other Desert Cities, refers to a road sign that I have seen down in Southern California, in fact, in the desert cities, but Indio and beyond down there in the deserts. How does a sense of place and these particular deserts enter into the play?
It is mentioned first by Brooke, who comments that when she drives to Palm Springs and she sees that sign, she's tempted to continue on to other desert cities and not stop in Palm Springs and visit the family.
And I think, you know, it's about California, and California has a certain sense in the rest of the country in terms of, you know, it's where Hollywood is, and Hollywood does figure into this because Lyman, who's the father, is a retired actor, and he did what Ronnie did, which was he retired from acting and went into politics. And so there's archetypes of, in terms of the California way of living and way of being, and Republicans in California and how they exist, and that's used to good effect in terms of the dynamic between the family. And Brooke now considers herself a New Yorker, so you have what's that West Coast California type, and then the East Coast type, and that's where some of the clash comes out.
Sometimes I wonder if Brooke, when she sees that sign, doesn't think about driving east until she finally gets back to New York.
Well, highlight for just a moment who the others are in the cast and crew that are central to this production.
Mother and father, Polly Wyeth is played by Chris Hanks, Lyman Wyeth by Bill Campbell. Trip Wyeth, Brooke's brother, is played by Brett French. And Polly's sister, Silda, is played by Pamela Leon Siegel. The director is Claude Offenbacher. The set and light designer is David Sherman, and he has designed a magical set, which is popping out now as the lighting is pulling it to the audience. The final magical effect in theater is when you get the lights set on the set and the actors. It looks beautiful. It is Christmassy. That is the other thing, that the Wyeths are Jewish, but they celebrate Christmas. They are WASPy Jews. They will spend Christmas Eve at a country club and have dinner there instead of Polly cooking at home.
Yeah, they've given up their Judaism in order to fit into California Republican society.
Yes.
And they were very well accepted, and that's the identity that they've held on to and kept for a long, long time.
Yes.
And what would you like the lasting impression of this play to be in the audience's mind?
I would love to have them go out feeling good for the humor and the family dynamics. There is a positive spin at the end of the play that just leaves me wanting to participate with the last scene. And I don't want to say anything about it. I want people to come to the play and see how it resolves. It is warm. It is, I hope people will come away thinking about their own families and their own relationships.
Anything you'd like to add to that, Tracy?
I think what you do come to theater for in general is to connect to things that are going on in your own life and to how we all live life. There is always that, no matter what the story is, there is something to relate to in terms of moving on in life. And so I think it definitely, because it's such a family story, it definitely brings out things that people will relate to in terms of how they interact with their own family members and the way stress is handled and life events within the family, and how we face those. I mean, yeah.
Well, thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Eric, yeah, appreciate it.
Suzanne Shapiro, Associate Director of the Pulitzer Prize-nominated play Other Desert Cities by John Robin Bates, and Tracy Eileen Miller, who serves as the play's central character, Brooke Wyeth, in the Very Little Theater's upcoming production of Other Desert Cities. It opens on Friday, January 16th, and runs through January 31st, with tickets available beginning Friday, January 9th. For more information, thevlt.com. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.